Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. Thank you for joining me. This is Sister Judith, and with the Lord's help, we'll conclude a message I began this week on perfect in heart. And as we brought yesterday's broadcast to a close, we were looking at the book of 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. Here we find the prophet Samuel rebuking the first king of Israel, King Saul, regarding his disobedience. They were told, Saul was told, they were totally to destroy the Amalekites, and instead they saved the king alive, they took of the spoil, they were destroy everything. And in verse 22, Samuel said, "Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry." And so we see that obviously the devil not only came against the first king of Israel, he comes against mankind with the same kind of motivations that motivated his own heart. He's known as the accuser of the brethren. He is a deceiver. He is the father of lies. But he didn't start out that way. Ezekiel, the 28th chapter, verse 17, describes Lucifer. "Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day that thou was created till iniquity was found in thee. Thine heart was lifted up," see pride, "because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness." The New English Translation says, "Your beauty made you arrogant. You misused your wisdom to increase your dignity." He thought he was going to be like God. Well, I mean, I don't know how any created being is not very smart if they think they can do that. He failed, of course, like anyone else who would try to do that. Verse 12 says, "Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty." In other words, you set the seal on perfection. You were full of wisdom. You were altogether beautiful. But what happened? Well, ego and self-will. Self-will, which is stubbornness, which evidences itself, that's the progression, if you will, to rebellion. Those conspired in his downfall. Was Satan rebellious? Obviously. But was he stubborn? Well, there was never a sign of remorse or repentance. Saul did. He was, he repented, but that was nonetheless God's decree. He would be removed from being king. Didn't happen immediately, but he sought a man after his own heart, someone who would be, who would seek the heart of God. And that, of course, was David, the least impressive of all of the sons of, you know, there were so many that were taller in stature and more importance. He was out in the sheep, with the sheep, just the youngest. But he was the one the prophet Samuel, God spoke to, said he was the one that God chose. And so Satan, you know, never showed a sign of remorse, repentance. Even if he could, he wouldn't. And we see in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God, there's good seed and then the seed of the wicked. Jesus spoke about that in the parables. So it is very important that we understand how God looks at stubbornness. It's not a good character trait at all, because that will lead to iniquity. Walking in stubbornness will bring rebellion. And if we do that, we align ourselves with the demonic hosts, with Satan himself. And like Saul, we will basically be destroyed from God's ultimate purpose. He basically died in battle, but he lost the favor and blessings of God. And that's true of anyone, if anyone will persist in stubbornness or rebellion. And let me just share Samuel's comment to Saul. You know, this was the second opportunity, but he had the first sin at Gilgal, which is recorded in 1 Samuel, the 13th chapter, verse 13. He didn't wait for the prophet Samuel, verse 12. He said, "Therefore said I," because Samuel was delayed, and again, God tests the heart. He said, "Therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal, and I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." He was not privileged to do that. He needed to have waited for Samuel. And in verse 13, Samuel replied, he said to Samuel, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee." So we see mankind has been birthed, if you will, from that first sin in rebellion and disobedience. But to remedy the situation, God gave a beautiful promise to Adam and Eve before they were expelled from the garden. He said, "A seed of the woman is coming," and that seed, born of a virgin, was Jesus Christ, who was perfectly submitted to the will of his Father. Now, Satan has continued with amazing tenacity and predictability to the character that he expressed opposition and rebellion to the will of the Father. We see that the character of Jesus was expressed in a beautiful way through his body in the fruit of the Spirit. That's basically the character of Jesus, is recorded in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 through 23. Well, actually, let's go from 22. "The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. For they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." So man's fallen, sinful nature, under the dominion and influence of Satan, takes the works of the Spirit, if you will, the carnal nature, the characteristic of Satan, the rebellion, the manifestation of self, stubbornness, ego, all these outward manifestations of the works of the flesh, if you will. That's a study for another time, the Hebrew words for iniquity and idolatry. But, beloved, faith is trust in God's love. That is really, when you break it down to its simplest forms, the greatest of these is love, faith, hope, and love. But faith, to be truly effective, is rooted, is based in the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus, whomsoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And that love that God showed, that God wants us to have, there's an absolute assurance of his love. It's a summation of his character. And what can be more beautiful that we walk before the Lord with a perfect heart? We may fall. We may fall short of the glory, but our hearts are set as David's was. Obviously, his was not a sinful life. He sinned in the matter of Uriah. Instead of asking on, you know, the prophet Nathan, when he came to me, said, you know, if your blessings were too little, if all you had to do was ask of God, he would have given you more. But he rebelled against God's desire for him. He disobeyed. He committed murder, adultery, if you will. And, you know, he did pay the price for that. But nonetheless, his heart was perfect before the Lord all of his days. And so, in closing, I would like to share a few passages from the book of Psalm 78, if you will. And I'd like to share, verses 5 through 8. Actually, it's a psalm of Asaph, and he opens that psalm by saying, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth." And in Basically said, the things we've heard, we're going to teach them to our children, to the generation to come. We're going to repeat the praises of the Lord, his strength, his wonderful works that he hath done. Now, verse 5 through 8. For he established a testimony in Jacob, and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. You see the progression, and that's true even in today's season, if you will, that we have the commandments of the Lord, and parents are to be godly examples, not just speak the words, but show by their lives, by the godly example they give to their children. And a child, you know, when they're old, they're not going to depart from the things they were taught, even though they possibly could rebel as they enter young adulthood, which is always a testing time, if you will. Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. That's what God wants from us. Lord, we're asking as we, in the closing moments of this broadcast, that you would give us a heart after your heart, to seek your heart, to seek your ways, to be perfect in heart, that we desire with all of our strength, all of our might, all that we are, to obey you, to love you, to give you glory. Let that be the total motivation of our lives, Lord, all that we do, that we might be perfect in your sight, that our hearts will be perfect before you, and that we will be able to stand before you in glory, hearing those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Praise God. Thank you for joining me, beloved. We will see what the Lord has for us on tomorrow's broadcast. I invite you to write, share your prayer needs, and I do ask that you continue to pray for myself, for the ministry. It's because of the faithfulness of God's people in prayer and in obedience that has enabled this ministry to continue since 1965. I love you, and until next time, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless.